Strength that we could be here this morning. Father, we pray for those who would like to be here this morning, but who can't for some reason. God, would your blessing rest upon them? And as well, Father, we would pray for those who have no desire to be here, God, that you would just continue to knock on the door of their hearts. Help them to know how much you love them and want to have that personal relationship with them. But Father, for those of us that are here this morning, God, would you speak to our hearts? Would you speak to our minds? And God, that we would then put into practice those things that you share with us here this morning, whether it's encouragement or challenge or conviction, whatever it is, Father. We just, in this moment, just surrender ourselves to you and to what you have for us here today. So God, may you just be blessed by our worship. May you be blessed by our gathering as we exalt your name here today. And may you receive all the honor and the glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship together, shall we?
He saves us for the cross. Remember that fear that took our breath away. Faith so weak that we could barely pray. But he heard every word, every whisper. Now those altars in the wilderness tell the story of his faithfulness. Never once did he fail, and he never will. This is our God, this is who he is. He loves us. This is our God, this is what he does. He saves us. He bore the cross, be the grave that heaven and earth proclaim. This is our God, King Jesus. Who pulled me out of that pit? He did, he did. Who paid for all of our sin? Nobody but Jesus. Who rescued me from that grave? Yahweh, Yahweh. Who gets the glory and praise? Nobody but Jesus. Who pulled me out from that pit? He did, he did. Who paid for all of our sin? Nobody but Jesus. Who rescued me from that grave? Yahweh, Yahweh. Who gets the glory and praise? Nobody but him. This is our God. This is who he is. He loves us. This is our God. This is what he does. He saves us. He bore the cross, be the grave that heaven and earth proclaim. This is our God, King Jesus. He bore the cross, be the grave that heaven and earth proclaim. This is our God, King Jesus.
The next song, Ryan asked me, he's like, can we sing about faithfulness? I said, sure. And as I started really thinking, I felt like God was teaching me a lot. This year at Coral Camp, our theme was I Will Remember. And talking about I will remember the things that God has done for us, where he's brought us from, etc. And I just felt like it really fit with God's faithfulness. And so the last song we sang, This Is Our God, is not one that I would have thought about when in terms of God's faithfulness. But the lines stood out to me. It says, now those altars in the wilderness tell the story of his faithfulness. And I was just like, yes. Like having those moments to look back on where we can say, God was faithful here. God was faithful here. And it just really impressed upon me that we need to remember those, but we need to remember more than just the ones that were way back then. We need to remember those times that he was faithful to us today and yesterday and a week ago. So not always just way back in the past, but here and now. So our next song is How Great Is Your Faithfulness. Will you stand and sing with us?
You're unto the King who reigns over all and never changes or turns. Unfailing justice, unfading grace, whose promises remain. Yes, your promises remain. Now unto the King who reigns over all and never changes or turns. Unfailing justice, unfading grace, whose promises remain. Your promises remain. The heavens ring and the saints all sing. Great is your faithfulness. From age to age we will proclaim. Great is your faithfulness.
God also was impressing upon me that we need to share those moments. Sometimes we feel like they're insignificant, they're little, or sometimes they're big and we share and then we don't.
Sing, for I know that I'll sing.
Songs really makes me think, I don't want to just worship a God of yesterday. I want to worship a God today, a God that's true, a God that's faithful, a God who loves us, who died for us, gave everything that he could so that we could have a chance to be with him someday. So let's lift our voices to this one last song, You Are Holy.
Prince of Peace, and I will live my life for you. I trust that's the cry of your heart this morning. And as we worship together and as we leave this place, that we would continue to worship him, continue to praise him, not just here as we gather together, but as we go out and share the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Good morning and welcome again to each one of you. Special welcome to our visitors. Good to have you here with us this morning as well. I invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 1. For our devotional this morning, just going to read one verse, actually. We've got a full schedule this morning. I don't want to take a lot of time in my devotional, but I do want us to focus on this morning, and I think it will be evident what God is trying to say to us as I share this morning. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Scripture says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." Paul's words. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And my guess is if I would ask you that question this morning, are you ashamed of the gospel, you would probably immediately say, well, no, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. But I have to ask myself the question as I think back about the past week or couple weeks, past month, if God were to ask me that question, the opportunities that I brought to you. And there's all kinds of opportunities. It's not just someone who steps in front of you who asks you, "Can you tell me about Jesus?" That'd be wonderful, but that doesn't happen real often. But how about opportunities maybe to be involved in Sunday school teaching? How about opportunities to be involved in the WANA? How about opportunities to sign up for Grace Marriage and show the grace of God through our marriages and our families? How about the opportunities to, you know, volunteer and to share financially to make the tent meetings happen here in just 10 days? Or the opportunities to invite people to come to that? All of these things are ways to share the gospel and to show the gospel. Am I ashamed of the gospel? I have no reason to be ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God to salvation. It is the power of God to salvation. The gospel is. Not any church, not any denomination, not any program, not anything else. It is the gospel. And I trust that all of these programs, all of these things that we do, whether it's Sunday school or Awana or tent meetings, or Grace Marriage, all of those things, ultimately the point of it is to share the gospel. To understand the gospel, that God loves you. God loves each and every one of us. And he wants to have a personal relationship with us. And as that happens, we go out and tell others that good news, that gospel of Jesus Christ. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Brother Greg Kenegi, we're blessed to have him with us here this morning. He'll be sharing an update on Gator Camp as well. And that'd be another perfect example. Getting boys from all over the state of Florida who come from troubled homes, troubled lives. What makes a difference in their hearts and in their lives? Putting them in a camp out in the swamp of Florida and let them stay outside and build their own campgrounds and just work things out together. Well, they learn some things through that. And their lives change a degree to that. But it's the gospel of Jesus Christ touching their hearts and touching their lives that makes all the difference. That changes their lives and changes others' lives as well. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's pray, shall we? Father, this morning, I thank you for this passage here that this particular verse that we read as Paul shared here, that he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He was willing to share it, to proclaim it wherever he went, to whoever he came into contact with. And God, may we pick up that torch, pick up that same challenge in our hearts and in our lives today. There's so many, many ways that you give us opportunities to do that. So Lord, as we worship together here this morning and as we go from this place, we pray that you would just continue to open our minds to those opportunities to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, to not be ashamed of it, to share it, to live it, to walk it, knowing that it is the power of salvation for everyone who believes. And that's your heart's cry, that everyone would believe. So again, Father, thank you for this time together here this morning. May your blessing continue to rest upon all aspects of the service here today. And again, may you be honored and glorified. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This time I'll ask.
gave his son for man to die, he might man redeem. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. His name above all names shall stand, did more and more at God the Father's own right hand, where angel hosts adore. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Redeemer, Savior, Friend of man, once ruined by the fall, thou hast devised salvation's plan, for thou hast died for all. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. His name shall be the Counselor, the Mighty Prince of Peace. Of all earth's kingdoms conqueror, whose reign shall never cease. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord.
And then number 25.
I have found a friend in Jesus, he's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see. Need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Oh, he all my griefs has taken and all my sorrows borne. In temptation, he's my strong and mighty tower. I have all for him forsaken and all my idols torn from my heart, and now he keeps me by his power. Though all the world forsake me and Satan tempt me sore, through Jesus I shall safely reach the goal. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here. While I live by faith and do his blessed will. qualify about me, I've nothing now to fear. With his manna he my hungry soul shall fill. Then sweeping up to glory to see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
Here this morning. So God, fill him with your spirit, fill him with your power. Give freedom to his mind and to his tongue as he shares with us here this morning. And Lord, help us to receive it as your word. Put it into practice in our hearts and in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, Gary. Thank you.
Good morning. I'd like to greet you in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, this morning, and remind you that the Lord's cup is never half filled, and that he puts faith challenges in front of us to grow us into who he's calling us to be. We're going to start this morning. Josh, are you good up on the computer? We have a story. This is not a camper story. If you can make it on Tuesday evening, we'll have a camper story on Tuesday evening on a video that we just did. But this is a chief story, so we're going to share that right now.
Didn't know what I wanted to do in my life, but I knew God made it pretty clear that I needed to come down here to camp. And I needed a camp more than camp needed a chief, and they got a chief out of it. I'm Curtis Rock, and my first experience about camp was back in about 2018. I was sitting in my Sunday school class, and Chief Greg came up to my church and explained to us what Gator Camp was and showed us a video of a past chief and how it impacted his life, and it kind of really caught my attention. So I came down the summer of 2018 and 2019, and then in 2020, 21, 22, and 23, we came down the springtime. And this was always a youth work group. And the more I came down, the more I fell in love with it. And kind of had a pull on my heart to come, but then I'd go home for a couple months and it'd kind of go away. And then I'd get a couple months closer to coming down again, and I'd feel that pull again. And then I got a time talking to the off-duty chiefs. I was like, I love the idea of it, but I would never chief. I graduated 21 and was part of a good family business and thought I had my life all planned out. And then in the spring, March of 23, we came down. Chief Curtis, our program director at the time, he came out and was talking to me and asked if I wanted to go into a group for a cookout. And I was like, heck yeah. And he goes, okay, I hear you're interested, but I was like, no, you're wrong about that. He's like, okay, we'll see. So Chief John, a supervisor, walked me down trail and was talking to me the whole way down trail and just kind of picking at my brain. And I get down in the group and jumped right in, and I was actually like, wow, this is crazy. The work and effort that they put in, and just the consistent paying attention to what's going on around you, and the constant awareness is crazy. And we finally got to bed that night, and about halfway through the night, I woke up and I couldn't fall back asleep. And God made it pretty clear to me that it's either I'm coming to camp or I'm going down a pretty dark road. And so the next morning, about noontime, Chief John came back down and got me and packed up my stuff, and we were walking back up trail, and he asked me, so what'd you think? I was like, well, where do I sign papers? And then about soon after that, I was up in the office and talked to a couple more people, signed some papers, and a month later, I was right back down chiefing. And at the time, I really needed it. I needed camp more than camp needed me, and more than they needed a chief, and they got a chief out of it. And I'll always be grateful for camp and what camp's done in my life. And it's not always easy. My first 6 months, I really struggled and had some pretty bad habits, and finally got to talking about them and opening up, and Chief Jimmy was a huge part of that, and he helped me break a lot of my old habits. And my old co-chief, my first co-chief, we chiefed together for about a year. And he really, really picked my brain, and had a couple off-duty chiefs that really helped me through things. Yeah, they just kept pushing and pushing and pushing. And I had, there's a few times where I was like, man, I don't know if I can do this. But it takes a lot of determination and after it. And I'm a pretty stubborn person too, so I wasn't gonna just let it run over me. I was like, well, I'm gonna finish what I started. I knew God called me here for a reason. Before I came down to camp, I was your cliche Christian, went to church every Sunday, grew up in a Christian home, but on the weekends I was out doing stupid stuff and not very Christian-like things, and it really, really turned my life around. It really grew me closer to God. I was finally reading my Bible again. Before camp, I maybe opened my Bible a handful of times. Now I read it every day. Camp's been a blessing. And I've been baptized since I've been down here. And my daddy got baptized with me. That was a very, very emotional and exciting moment too. And because my dad grew up in a real dysfunctional family. Divorced parents and a brother, half-brother. And he's really, really came a long way. And for him to get baptized is, with me too, is a huge, huge accomplishment in my books. So camp's been a blessing in my life and to me, and it's really changed me for the better and made me a godly man in who I am sitting here today. It's been a challenge. It's not easy, but it's also not unachievable. And if you feel led to even just come check out camp, we'd be glad to have you. Give us a call. Spend a day in the group and see if you'd be interested, or we got other positions at camp too. We'd love to have you.
If you turn in the scripture this morning to John chapter 21, that's where we're going to spend the large bulk of our time together in what the Word shares. And I'm going to speak in terms of John 21 this morning. I'm not paraphrasing, I am not lessening the strength of the gospel or the way the Holy Spirit speaks. But there's some times when we open the scripture and we read through it in a corporate setting that we kind of, it puts us to sleep. And this morning I don't want to talk in that context, but I want to talk in the context of what Jesus does in John chapter 21. And if you think this is post-resurrection, and post-resurrection, what are the disciples' jobs? For the past 3 years, they walked with Jesus, they lived with Jesus, they saw his work, they experienced his work. Many times, they came off like they were on roller skates and didn't know what they were doing and didn't know what they were talking about. And here's the thing, they really didn't. And most of us like to be what? Comfortable. I don't want to feel like I'm on ice skates. Some of you guys are probably great on skates. I'm not. But I like to be comfortable. We like to be comfortable. And so the beginning of the narrative of John chapter 1 is an example of what the disciples did post-resurrection. They really hadn't spent much. They got a glimpse or two of Jesus. They recognized that he had risen from the dead, but they didn't really know what they were doing. They didn't have a job. And so what did they do? They went back to what they knew. They just tracked back to what they knew, which is what we know about the disciples, is the large majority of them were fishermen. And so they went back there. I don't know what happened to their nets. If they let friends use them in their times they're walking with Jesus, I don't know what they did with their boats. But they got a boat and they got nets and they just went back to fishing. And so in the first several verses of John chapter 21, there's seven of the disciples. And they said, we're just going to go out and fish. And they did a night fishing. And again, I don't know how it works over there, but down our way, A lot of times we find fish by, we see what the bait's doing. And the bait's up jumping out of the water because the big fish are chasing it. And as they came in, they didn't get anything that night. And as they come in, Jesus is there. He called out to them, verse 5, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" Okay, here we know that the disciples were a little different because they didn't lie, a bunch of fishermen. They said, "No." He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." And I don't know, maybe there was bait jumping on the right side of the boat. And so they were willing to do it. But a lot of times a fisherman, when you say, "Hey, cast over here, throw over here," you say, "Why am I throwing over there? I'd like to see some evidence." And so they threw their net on the other side and they were overwhelmed. And in the process, they recognized Jesus. And I don't know how close they were to the shore. Peter jumps out of the boat. Peter's going to get close to Jesus. And as they're there, Jesus ministers to them. He preps food for them. He has food available for them. There's a fire going. And somewhere in that interaction, verse 15 said, they finished eating. Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things, and you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." And I love this story because what should have Jesus done to Peter after he denied him three times? If it was up to us, what would we have done? Throw him out. Strike him dead. Have nothing to do with him. Because prior to crucifixion, Peter said what? "Jesus, I have your back. I will never leave you. I will hang in there. I will stick in there with you." And a few short hours later, Peter denies him 1, 2, 3 times. And this is really an unbelievable picture for us as believers, because we can be pretty brutal sometimes in our refusal to restore those that have fallen away. Carter, on his video, I hope you were challenged by it. Grew up, he says, in a cliche Christian family. Cliche Christian family means being put to sleep spiritually. Jesus doesn't say, "Peter, you're going to have a conditional appointment in my kingdom because you denied me three times." He doesn't say, "Peter, I'm going to hold this against you because you denied me three times." What's Jesus' point? Restoration. Restoration in the kingdom. Restoration, catch this, without strings. And oh, we love to hold on to strings sometimes when we feel like we have the control. Jesus just restores them. No drama. No over the top. No, "Peter, I'll restore you. But there's a list of 19 items that you need to do right for the next 6 months. And after it, we'll have a meeting and decide if you've attained those 19 items. What did we just move into? We just moved into the law. We just ruled relationship with Christ out of the equation. What does Jesus as my Savior do? He restores me gently. What does He call me to do? He calls me to offer that to others. 2015, we had a camper at camp. Family worker went to his house to visit him and his mom. He had run away. He had broken into a country club in Fort Myers and stayed hidden for 2 days and two nights in the country club. Shut down, he'd ease himself into the kitchen, have leftovers. He was all over the place. He finished his ninth grade year. He had a half of a high school credit after his ninth grade year. They went to do the visit. He wasn't there and came back, and they said, we couldn't do the interview. Ross wasn't there. Said, well, we'll never see him. He called back, said, I wanted to come to camp. Came and talked to camp and said, I don't know, Ross. Came to camp. He was a challenge. He was always testing. How many of you know where just that line is? And you just live on that line? That's what we do. That's our human nature. Ross was just always on that line. Partway through camp, he started to trust us a little bit. Started talking about things from his past. Graduated from camp, never made a commitment to Christ. We have a graduated camper intern program where a graduate, after he gets his high school diploma, can come back and work with us, be mentored, walk with him. He got his high school diploma and he called and he said, I'd like to come back. Ross had never made a commitment to Christ. So do we take a mentor back to Gator Camp that hasn't made a commitment to Christ? Hadn't even considered that when we set up the mentor program. We said, you know what, Ross? We just talked about it. He said, I'm not ready. He was reading the scripture a lot, searching. He came back to camp as in the mentor program. Hard worker, great attitude. He was back at camp one night, ran into a supervisor and said, hey, would you have time to walk me through the steps of committing my life to Christ? Supervisor said yes, and Ross committed his life to Christ. Did a good job with us and wanted to do something else, and so we started talking about the REACH program. Ross's family was not supportive because they weren't believers. And so people were very helpful, jumped in and assisted him in raising the funds, and he went to REACH. And I don't know, they went somewhere, I want to say Eastern European country. And it was a pretty unfamiliar culture to the REACH team. And so they were staying pretty close to the house. And so Rosedale sent somebody over, pulled the team together, said, hey, we'd like you all to get out a little more often. Wrong thing to tell a first-generation believer. Ross was out till like 2 or 3 in the morning. They said, Ross, what are you doing? He said, you told us to get out. Okay, there's boundaries and fences in our lives. There's boundaries and fences in our lives here. We kind of do things within the norms. Ross had never done any of that. It was a rough REACH experience. Got out of REACH and enlisted in the Coast Guard. While I was in the Coast Guard, he got married and they have a little girl and one on the way, and Ross is back at Gator Camp. Wide open, growing by leaps and bounds. It's exciting to see what the Lord does when I don't put parameters on what the situation can look like or does look like. Make the application to how Jesus restores Peter. At the end of verse 19 of chapter 1, he says to Peter, "Follow me." We serve a Savior who continues to call and say, "Follow me," with a whole heart. Don't follow me with half a heart. Don't follow me with lip service. Follow me with a whole heart and let me show you the work that I'll do. And we can wrap the story up, and it's a great ending as Jesus restored Peter. But you know, Peter's like a lot of us, he couldn't be just good with it, leaving it there. So verse 20, Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them. Who is that disciple? It's John. John's written the book. He always refers to it in Disciple Jesus Loved. John's following them. When Peter sees John, he says to Jesus, "Hey, what about him? Isn't that us to a T?" Jesus has restored Peter. He doesn't strike him dead with lightning. He doesn't cast him into hell or condemn him to hell forever because of the three times that he denied knowing him. Peter's restored. We should be all good. And then Peter goes, "Hey, what about him?" How often do we look over our shoulder as a believer and say, "Hey, I'm doing it right. I'm getting it right here. But what about him?" And the application for me is very real, because when our boys come in, they can't do anything right. And we have to be patient with them. And sometimes living in a group, a boy goes, "Well, what about him? You didn't ask him to split that piece of wood." For us as a believer, Jesus is like, "What about him? Peter, it's none of your business." And where it really gets real for us at camp sometimes is a parent's response. Because over the past year, we've had three families that say that their boys are at camp, say, "We don't want to ever see our sons again." Never had happened before in all the years we've done camp. It's happened three times in the past year. "We will never be back again to see or pick up our son." And I want to say to all three of those families are sitting in a church somewhere this morning. And I want to go, "Lord, what about them?" But what's Jesus say? That's not my responsibility to say, "What about them?" My responsibility is to follow the call of Christ in my life, to live faithfully as a follower of Christ, on the gender side, I'm a man, to live my life with courage, to be a spiritual leader to my wife and my family. And then follow the call that he's placed in my life, which for the past 16 years has been Gator Boys Camp. And when I read about call in Scripture, I don't read about the in parentheses, "Greg, when you weaken or feel like quitting." That narrative isn't supplied. Why isn't the narrative supplied? We could all jump up on this one and say, because you're called to live under the strength of Jesus Christ. and he gets the honor, and he gets the glory. So in those three situations of boys whose family said, we don't ever want to see them again, and I'm talking to our legal counsel, and he said, Greg, I'm just going to tell you that you're just crazy. Because of the way the system is set up. You know what? All three of those boys have a home today, a year later. One of those boys was a little walking pharmacy. He's not on meds today. And overachieving. But you know, in my life, in the life of our staff, when we start looking over going, Lord, what about him? Why isn't he walking through this? Jesus again calls me into correction. For who he is, what he is doing in my life, and for his glory. Not mine, his. And I'm going to just read two verses out of the book of Peter, because at a much later date, 1 and 2 Peter are written by the Apostle Peter. And you can read anywhere throughout the books, the letters Peter wrote, and it just oozes with what he learned in his walk with Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. To God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. Did Peter in his life experience the sanctifying work of the Spirit? Absolutely he did. Peter, feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Peter, follow me. That was a sanctifying work of the Spirit in Jesus' life. Jesus in Peter's life. The second, for obedience to Jesus Christ and the sprinkling by his blood. Where's Peter go? Back to the blood. He doesn't say in the letter, for obedience to the law. No, it's obedience to Jesus Christ and the sprinkling by his blood. You know, one of the things I keep learning is I need to continue receiving through the Holy Spirit lessons that I thought I learned maybe years ago. Follow me, and I don't need to worry about what Myron's doing this week. Myron and Julie have their call. I don't have to worry about what you're doing this week. What do I need to take care of? I need to take care of the call of what Christ, the path Christ has put me on. The path that we read in Scripture that's the good path. So I would like to end with that to encourage you. Some of you may need to put some Holy Spirit fences in your life. I.e., put your phone down a little more often and pray. I don't know what it is. But I would just ask that the Holy Spirit would illuminate, challenge, and call you into the walk that he has for you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this good day. We thank you for a day when you call us out to spend it differently than any time of the other 6 days. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit's presence here. We thank you for the truth and the clarity that you bring, and the clarity through the story of you and the disciples. The clarity you brought in restoring Peter, the example for us. Not only did you restore him, but you corrected him. And Father, correction is not easy for any of us. I pray that as a church and as individuals, that when correction comes in our lives, Lord, that you would prompt us through your Spirit to accept that correction and grow into the person you've called us to be. And that person you've called us to be according to your word is to become more like you. Lord, we prayed a lot of different requests this morning, and we thank you again that your cup is not half full. In our situation, we need workers that are willing to go in the field and work for a harvest that you've already prepared. And we'd ask you continue to prompt and send forth the workers into the harvest. Father, we pray a blessing on this church, that Naumburg would be a light in this community through its members. A city on a hill that cannot be hid. Father, for the meetings that are coming up, Lord, you have it. We sit and wonder where it's going to come from, and over again, you're faithful. Father, we pray for Gator Camp today, for those boys in chapel, for a group of cowboys that's up here. Thank you for the great time they've had the last week and a half. Thank you for the discussions as boys are spending time with Chief and just asking questions about you and what you're about, and the difference that you make in our lives. And most of all, we say all this in your powerful name, Jesus. Amen.